This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the service so far. Indeed, you have shown yourself strong and mighty. We have enjoyed your sweet presence. Lord, as we look into your word of life, Daddy, please speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Convict hearts today and let your name and your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The sermon is already on the app. The one for last week, actually last week is what the rest of it is what we're doing today. But I've broken them into two, New Life in Christ 1 and 2. New Life in Christ 1 and 2. Our scripture of the month tells us that those that are in Adam, they die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. He said, but those that belong to Christ have been given a new life. Somebody say, I have a new life. I have a new life. Christ has given us a new life in himself. And that new life is incompatible with the old nature. The old nature of sin is incompatible with the new life that Christ has given unto us. And we looked at this extensively last week. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 31 was our text. And in that text, we saw that it says we should put off certain things. It said, put off sexual immorality, put off iniquity, put off bitterness, anger, rage, slander, foul, abusive language. He said, put them off. And all types of evil behavior, he said, put them off. And then he continues to say, he said, put on the nature of Christ, which means to be kind to one another, tender-hearted to each other, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13 says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves. God chose you. God chose me. He has chosen us and he loves us. It says, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Verse 13 is what I want to point out before we go into the subject matter for today. Verse 13 says, make allowance for each other's fault. It says, what it simply means is that I must expect that favor will fall short and I should make allowance for that. I shouldn't get all wound up and get so mad and angry because favor fell below expectation. Amen. As beautiful and nice and smiley and friendly and tender-hearted as Sister Betty is, she's going to fail at one point or the other. I say, make allowance for each other's fault so that we don't have things like we talked about last week, that there's so much acrimony between brothers and between sisters or between brother and sister that I say, I will never talk to her again. He said, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive one another. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, somebody say, remember, the Lord forgave you. The Lord forgave you as well. He forgave you. He said, remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. So you must forgive others. You must forgive others. Today, what I would like to talk about very quickly is the benefits of the new life. Benefits of the new life. In the new life, the Spirit renews our thoughts and our attitudes. When I am born again and I have the new life in Christ Jesus, it changes everything. It changes the way I think. It changes my attitude towards situation and towards people. Or at least it should. Amen? At least it should. So benefits of the new life. There are four benefits that I want to talk about. The first one is the one I will talk about extensively, and then we'll go to the other three. Just go through them very quickly, and then we will conclude for today. Number one benefit of the new life is the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. God has given himself as a gift to us when we give our life to Christ. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John 4 and 4. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. So it's talking about those of us that are born again. If you are born again, it's talking about you. Amen. He said, but you belong to God, my dear children. You already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God has given us in salvation, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. It says, and now you Gentiles have also had the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, watch this, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you. Somebody say, I have been given. I have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, Christ identified you by giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, 1 through 10, we saw the Holy Spirit came powerfully and the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, we see the story of Cornelius. As Peter was preaching to Cornelius and his household, the Bible says they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So why do I need the gift of the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the Holy Spirit? It's very simple. I told us last week that when you give your life to Christ, by the very fact that you have surrendered over your life to him, he gives you a new life. In that new life, you live differently, you think differently, you have different attitudes. Why? Because of the indwelling Spirit of God inside of you. And it is your act of will for you to put off rage. It is something you do. The Holy Spirit is not going to make you put off sexual immorality. So when you see a sister and you are thinking what you are not supposed to be thinking, it is your duty and your responsibility to tell yourself you are stupid. So why are you thinking like that? Aren't you born again? Don't you have the new life? You speak to yourself. Amen. You convince yourself against sin. You give yourself the reason why not to sin. So when anger is coming and rage is coming, you have the response. The Holy Spirit is not going to hold your mouth. I was telling somebody that there are certain things the Holy Spirit will never do for you. Some things God will absolutely never do for you. I say, Pastor, that is a very strong thing. It's true. And the quick example is just try not to brush your teeth for about 2 months. And let's see what happens. The only thing that will happen is people will be avoiding you. When you are talking, they take a step back, you move forward, they say, it's okay, I've heard. They don't understand what you're saying. They just say, it's okay. I understand everything you have said. Why? Because mouth odor. Amen? That whatever you can do for yourself, God is not going to do for you. Why? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the new life. Somebody say, I have the Spirit of God in me. I can live the new life. I can honor God with my life. Hallelujah. And I will honor God with my life. Hallelujah. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? A, is salvation. Salvation. The new life is fueled and powered by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one, somebody say no one. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The only way we can be saved is by the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit comes to convict a soul, they will keep hearing the gospel, they will keep hearing the good news. It will sound logical to them, but they will never surrender. But when we give in to the Holy Spirit empowers us and it fuels us to be saved. Amen? B, the blank there, if you are following on the app, is prayer. Prayer. And again, we'll be talking about prayer October 28th. It's going to be an interactive service. Everybody will be able to contribute. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Praise the Lord. That is why, as a child of God, never, ever say, I cannot, because you can. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can, by the grace of God. Not a thing of pride, but by the special grace of God, I can do all things. Why? Because Christ is the one that strengthens me. Amen? The Spirit of God is in me, and by Him, I can live this life. By the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit inside of me. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So the Holy Spirit empowers us. So it says, in our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit helps us. Amen? The Holy Spirit, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit enables us to pray. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. And if you pray by the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is going to help you and lead you to pray the mind of God. You know, a lot of times people are asking for things that God has no interest in. Amen? When Hannah said to God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And God is looking for a replacement for the prophet. What happened? Very easily God answered that. Himself. If that's the case, I will give you a son. No problem. Praise the Lord. When God was looking for somebody to kill Goliath, and everybody, including the king, were hiding, once David showed up and said, I can, he empowered him. He killed Goliath. Amen? So our prayers that will get immediate attention from God, has to be prayers that are the mind of God. And the way we know the mind of God is by the Spirit of God. Number C, why do I need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit teaches us. It teaches us. It teaches us to do everything. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to raise children. Because many of us as parents, we don't have any experience of anything. You know, we just get married. It teaches us how to be married. Praise the Lord. Because you get married without training, they give you license. Yeah? What a great trust. You know, you have not gone to the school, but you are given the certificate from the get-go. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to live this life. It teaches us, helps us to raise our children. It teaches us even on the job. You know, there was an experience I had many years ago. I was a resident veterinary doctor. I mean, the clinic was the number one clinic in the city then, in Kano City, where I lived. I was a resident doctor, and one day they brought a puppy, a dog, you know, and not very clear symptoms, but somehow within me, I had a diagnosis that did not match the symptoms. You know, so, and I made my notes and everything, and I started a course of treatment based on what I perceived, you know, and, you know, from talking to the clients and everything. So the next day, I was not in the office because I was also lecturing at the Polytechnic at the time. And I had given my notice to leave the job. You know, and my boss, the owner of the clinic, was afraid maybe I'm trying to, you know, garner his customers, and I didn't have any such money. Anyway, so I was not there the next day. So the next day, he saw my notes and everything. What's Sonny doing? Blah, blah, blah. He just trashed me in front of the client and changed the course of treatment. By the third day, when I went back to work, the dog was showing classical signs of the treatment that I started and it discontinued. You know, so the Holy Spirit will quicken your spirit. You will know things and you wouldn't know why. You don't know how. Nothing like it, nothing around you suggests it, but you just know in your eyes. Say, how do you know? Say, I don't know, but I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John chapter 14, John 14 verse 26, it says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. Someone said the Holy Spirit is my teacher. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. You know, till tomorrow, my wife believes I'm a genius. You don't study, you just, I study. You may not see me when I study, but I put in time and effort. Amen. Number D. Let's do this quickly. D. The Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. So we're talking about why we need the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the benefits of the new life, and the number one benefit is the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Sometimes you don't know what to do. You know, and for me, that's a lot of times. You know, because when people come and they tell me all these things, and I'm just looking, Lord, what do I do? How do we resolve this? What's the next thing? A pastor calls you and begins to tell you everything that is going on in the church, and you are supposedly the boss. You should have answer and have solution. And in my heart, I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, help me. How should I respond to this? How should I react to this? The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Bible says in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to me. If you are born again and you are not led by the Spirit, you are a carnal believer. Many believers today are failing in their walk with God because they want to walk with God in the flesh. In the flesh. Until you totally learn to rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance, for instruction, and for everything. Everything, really. It says the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. He will reveal everything to you. You know, part of the reason how I believe I'm a genius is because as I'm preparing for an examination, you know, somehow, I don't know how it happens, but somehow, students, make sure you pray and the Holy Spirit is the one telling you. Somehow, I know where the exams, the questions are coming from. So as I'm studying, anywhere I dedicate time to study, I'm going to read the other things, but I'm just going to browse through them. Anywhere I dedicate time, that's where the exam is coming from. So somehow, I don't know how, but somehow, I was just an A student. Somehow. And I don't cheat. It's not by cheating. You know, some people, the Holy Spirit gives me crunchy. How about that? The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. If we will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we will make less mistakes in life. If we will listen to him, we will make less mistakes in life. E, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit cleanses us. You know, there's so many questions that people have. They worry about, holiness. How can somebody be holy and all of this? The Holy Spirit is the one that cleanses us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you read from verse 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. He said, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourselves. those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols, commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God, no matter what they teach you about grace. This is the word of, this is new. I thank God I'm reading New Testament. You know, because, oh, that's Old Testament. That's the law, the law, the law. Is this the law? This is the New Testament. He said, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Why is he giving such a warning? Because there is every tendency for you to be deceived. There will be things that will want to fool you, to trick you to believe as true what is false. He said, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Verse 11 is where we're really going. He says, some of you were once like that. I was, you can find me in the list above, maybe one or two places. And the reason you are laughing is you know you are also there. We used to be like that. But he says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. Hallelujah. We have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have been made whole, made acceptable by the blood of Jesus. He said, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit cleanses us. The Holy Spirit what? The Holy Spirit cleanses us. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation, guess what? A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be acceptable before God. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the one that cleanses us, is the one that renews us, is the one that purges us. He says he makes us, makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth. True believers in Christ are Holy Spirit controlled. Amen. True believers in Christ are what? They are Holy Spirit controlled. Romans 8:8. Romans 8 says, that's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. It means if I'm still living under the control of the old sinful nature, the scripture is saying my life can never please God. But in 9, verse 9, he said, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. How many of us have the Spirit of God live in us? Hallelujah. It's not a trick question. It's not like the liar's situation of last week. I know people, everybody was like, before you tell us, hallelujah. The Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit of God is in us if you have given your life to Christ. Amen. Number one, we say benefits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and those are the benefits that we derive because of the blessing of having the Holy Spirit, who is the second person of the Godhead. Number two, the new life makes us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we have inheritance with God. Somebody say a good amen to that. I have inheritance in God. Number three, the new life guarantees your place in eternity with God. The new life guarantees your place in eternity with God. As beautiful as this world is, it's coming to an end. And it's going to be consumed by fire. Everything that you can see, all the beautiful cars, all the beautiful houses, everything, fire. Somebody say fire. Everything will be consumed by fire. Amen. But the new life guarantees you a place in eternity with God. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 14, 1, 2, and 3, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Listen, why is he saying that to them? And he's saying the same thing to us today. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. There will be things that will want to trouble your heart. When you have prayed and you have not received an answer, your heart may be troubled. Amen? If the pain you are feeling is real, is somebody understanding me? If you are feeling it, you know there is pain. It is real. And they keep telling you, believe, 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 your heart can be troubled. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Because we have a greater and a better hope than this life. Amen? Verse 2, it says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Amen? When everything is ready, I will come and get you. That's a promise from Jesus. He said, when all things are done, when all things are ready, I'm coming back for you. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming. Mm-hmm. And he's not a liar. Guaranteed. Glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. He's coming back. He said, if it were not so, I would not have promised that I'm going to prepare a place for you. The very fact that I have made a promise that I'm going to prepare a place, know that there's a place that you are coming into. And because you have the new life, it guarantees you a spot in eternity. Praise the Lord. Number four, and the final point that I want to make here, of course, there's more things. The new life brands us for Christ. Salvation is a brand. The new life, it brands us that we belong to Jesus. It's a branding. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, just as Christ is branding his own, Satan will also brand his own. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. The Apostle Paul said, because I bear the mark of Christ upon me, let no man trouble me. What mark do you bear? Whose mark are you carrying? Are you carrying the mark of Christ? Are you carrying the nature of Christ? Or are you carrying the old sinful nature? He said he's going to brand his own. He's going to write his name on their forehead. And the enemy, Satan, in Revelation 13 and verse 16, Revelation 13 and 16, he said, he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. So as Christ is putting his mark on his own, Satan is putting his mark on his own. Every mark that they may have put upon you that is contrary to Christ, I wash by the blood of Jesus. Some people wonder why they are prone to trouble. When they have put a mark on somebody, everywhere he goes, the people that recognize the mark, they know the mark. Every mark that is contrary to the marking of Christ that may have been following you, I wash away by the blood of Jesus. I cleanse by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say, I bear the mark of Christ. I bear the mark of Christ. The name of Christ is what is upon my forehead. He owns me. I belong to him. I belong to him. In conclusion today, please listen. In conclusion, Hebrews 10:26-29. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover for these sins. It says, now that you are in Christ. He said, just as those who are in Christ, he said, they have received, those who belong to Christ, they have received a new life. But he says, dear friends, if we then, after receiving the new life, deliberately we continue to live in sin, he said, there's no more sacrifice. Verse 27 said, there is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment, and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God. Those that have received the new life but continue to live after the sinful nature of the old man. He said, just think how much worse the punishment would be for those people because they trample on the Son of God and have treated the blood of covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings us mercy. Please rise to your feet. I want you to lift up both hands to the Lord tonight. The Bible says, if I say there is no sin in me, I lie, and the truth of God is not in me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, cleanse me this morning. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Say, Lord, cleanse me. Plead the blood of Jesus upon yourself. You have the new life. You have the Holy Spirit. You can live well. You can live right. You can honor God with your life. You can please God with your life. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. He empowers you to live righteously and to act justly. Say, cleanse me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. We worship, we adore you. Say, be thou exalted forever. Lord, we come before you this morning just as we are. Lord, you made us. You know our weaknesses. Holy Spirit, your word tells us that you help our weaknesses. Lord, help us in our weaknesses. In every area of our lives where we are weak, Lord, help us. Glorify yourself. Magnify yourself. Be glorified forever and ever in the name of Jesus. Lord, continually let our lives be pleasing unto you. Lord, continually let our praises rise up unto you as sweet-smelling savor. Let our prayers come before you as incense in the name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, we commit the week ahead into your hands. Lord, glorify yourself. Lord, lead us by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, there are many with many great expectations. Lord, as they are looking unto you, crying unto you, that it lead them in the right way for them. Your word says we will hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Lord, this week we will hear your voice loudly and distinctly, directing us where we must go, giving us guidance in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.